Good morning. This morning's call to worship is about strength. Strength of the mind, strength of the heart, and strength of the body. And if we trust the Lord, He will supply each and every one of them to us. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. They shall not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Through our trials, our falls, our tribulations, do we learn to gain this strength and trust in the Lord. Psalms 31:24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Remember, God has you. He strengthens you, your mind, your heart, your body.
Good morning, everybody. Robin, I don't need to preach now. Because you just stole everything I was going to do. You notice how I put that? You stole it. You stole my thunder today. Thanks a lot, Rob. No, just kidding. That was the start of it right there. I was going to do that, but I'm not going to do it now. Because there's no way I could top something like that. So, if you would, we're going to be reading from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. It's at the top of your handouts there. Then from Matthew 19:14, Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. But as you're getting those ready, because I know you're looking them up in your Bibles right now or on your phones, getting it all marked, right, Kayla? I knew it. Okay. I mentioned last week that I mean going to on a mission trip. Those that were here last week, you remember that? Those that watched the video, do you remember that? Do you remember where I am going?
Romania.
Who knows where that is? It's not in another country. It is another country. All right, it's over in Eastern Europe, okay? Lori and I have been there for a few times where we've done work with, especially centered around orphans. Well, their orphan situation is a little bit different now than what it was when we first started going. But there's still some poverty, obviously, and everything over there. And what this mission trip that I'll be going on in October, as I mentioned last week, will be centering on giving children shoes. Now, when I say children, I'm talking about teenagers on down to 2 years old, even younger, okay, to newborns. All right, a lot of these kids, it may have been a couple years since they've had a new pair of shoes. So if they got shoes like 2 years ago, some of them may have been wearing, and I mentioned how last time I was there, some of you could see where they cut out the toes of the shoes because they'd grown so much. I mean, kids do what? They grow, okay? Whether they want to or not. Some of them want to and they don't. But anyway, their feet, you know, that's what happens. So that's what the mission trip will be centering on, that and giving other humanitarian aid. As I mentioned, though, this is where you guys get to help me out. You can look around, especially down around the church. There's a signs put up about giving shoes. And we talked a little bit about this last week. Now, there's two ways you can do this in helping us to take shoes over to Romania. That's why we're doing the shoe drive now, because if we get this done by, I think it's by the end of July, excuse me, the shoes that we collect within the next few weeks will go with us to Romania this year. Okay, now they'll be, if we don't get them right off the bat, some other shoes will be going later on. But if we do get this through June, get them processed and everything, they will be good. But anyway, there's a couple different ways you can do this. One is where you are hands-on. Okay, you get to bring the shoes here. And we got the collection box here. Okay, right down there by my door, where my office is. If you don't know where my office is, I don't know what to tell you. Okay? But that, we've got that there. I'm really wanting to fill this thing several times. Or put more boxes down there or whatever. I gave you the challenge if we could get, you know, everybody bring one pair a week. They don't have to be the $400 Michael Jordan shoes. I mean, they just some nice shoes. We do ask that they are brand new. Okay? Not used ones. I mean, we're giving these to kids, you know, that they want new stuff. Okay? It's just, we can get new shoes. So you can do it that way. There is another way. You'll look around on these signs. There's those square things with all the jiggly little lines in them that you can take a picture of with your phone. What's that? The QR codes. The QR codes. Thank you. Okay? You can do it that way and donate $23 or $100, whatever you want to. And that way you can also, if you wanted to, and I haven't done this, when you're filling that, hold all that information out, if you do it like that, you can keep track of a pair of shoes that you gave and when it, and where it goes in that, okay? The shoes that we physically give, it's kind of a little difficult to do those, but the other way, if you wanted to. Like I said, I'm hoping that we just overflow the boxes. If you want to give the other way too, as well, that's what, you know, whatever. But that's what we'll be doing when we go over in October. Another thing that we'll also be doing is we'll be putting on different areas where we go. We'll be putting on like daily vacation Bible schools. Just for that day that we're at that location. We're going to be going to several different areas while we're over there. So just kind of give you a heads up on that. So please give towards that. We also mentioned about how Lori has made a beautiful quilt. We're going to be raffling that off to help pay for it because it does take a little bit of money. So just some different ways you're going to be able to help out in that mission trip. If you have any questions, yes?
But the shoes you want need to be closed-toed shoes, right?
Yes, the shoes, sorry about that, yes. The shoes have to be closed-toed. In other words, no sandals, thongs, or anything like that. They have to be tennis shoes, dress shoes, and that, but they have to be closed-toed. No, you know, you understand?
The weather, is it winter weather boots?
Yeah, it's the weather's good year-round. Is like us. They're actually really, really similar to us. When we're in the 80s, they're about the same thing as what we are here. Maybe not as good, but yeah, it's just they're real close to us. So kind of keep that in mind too, I guess. But yeah, they have to be closed-toed. I mean, so just remember that. If you have any other questions, you want to see me afterwards, you know, that's great. We'll go from there. So we'll be announcing that for the next few weeks. So we're kicking that off today. So I've actually notified the gentleman that is head of this group. Him and I used to work together when I worked up at LCN in Princeton. And I told him that we have a goal on 1,000 pairs of shoes. I didn't really say that. But if we did that, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Okay. I haven't really set a number of, you know, my wife's over here, you didn't tell me this. Okay. But it's just a way for us all the hands-on thing. We're also going to have the Operation Christmas Child coming up. It's more than just saying, and this is, don't get me wrong, donating to our basket, you know, that's important too. But this is more a hands-on where we're all taking part of it. Because not all of us can go to Romania. Not all of us can go to different places. But we can all still participate in doing missions. So, okay, if you would, please stand with me. I'm going to start off with by reading our Jeremiah, then our Psalm, then our Matthew, and then our Ephesians scriptures for today. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Matthew 19:14. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And from Ephesians 1:3-5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his glorious pleasure and will. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for the blessing of being here today, the blessing of being with one another, but most of all, the blessing of knowing how you are here with us. Lord, we thank you for our children. We thank you for the calling you've given to each and every one of us to raise our children. You know, the saying that says it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a church, a church body to raise its kids, to raise its children, its youth. It's a big calling you've given to each and every one of us, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you for all of our youth and our children, of our church and of our community. Help us to remember we're all kids, not just at heart, but we're all, when we've come to you, your child. Lord, we pray that you would just touch us now as we hear your word, your message. We ask you once again to open our eyes, our ears, and especially our hearts to the words that you have for us today. We pray this together. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, as I said, there's going to be some things that you've already heard. Maybe a little bit different way, but not as good as Robin's. But one thing I just want to make clear. One thing that if you're not paying attention, you got to pay attention to at least this one thing I'm saying. Where'd Vince go? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, he's down there. He's paying attention. Never mind. With God, there is no such thing as a mistake. With God, there's no such thing as a mistake. I don't know what it's like. There's a situation that sometimes can be called unplanned, but there's no such thing as a mistake. I say that because back in the day, okay, I can remember my parents. I'm not criticizing them, but when there was a child, you know, like my mom and dad, if you were to ask them, or especially my dad right now, he would tell you that all three of us kids were mistakes. Meaning, we were not planned. Okay? By a long shot. Especially when I came along 7 years after my brother. They thought, you know, everything was done by then. But with God, there's no mistakes. In the opening verses of God's Word, we are given the truth about a certain event. We read about it in Genesis. It's that event that we call creation. And if you go back there to Genesis, you can do it if you want to. You can go back and look at it. And we're also going to be looking at the book of Daniel, as they said. So if you want to mark that, that's fine. But if you go back to creation, and after each day, day one, day two, and it says what about what he created that day? It was good. Now, we have to understand that when it says it was good, it's not just like you had a good bologna sandwich. It means it was exactly what God wanted. It was exactly what God wanted. And then there's a good 1 or 2 days in there where it says it was very good. Very good. And I don't know how you can get better on perfection, but for somebody, Moses wrote it in there when writing the book of Genesis. It was very good. And again, everything was just exactly what God wanted. Not only was it just exactly what God wanted, but it was exactly what God planned. See, before creation, he had this plan of what he wanted to do. And it was exactly to his plan. Now, we understand that a certain event took place and kind of messed things up a little bit. But in his creation, everything was exactly what God wanted. In our scripture readings, we see several times how people, children, are a part of God's creation. That we have been formed personally by God. If you go back there again to Genesis 1, it says that God said, "Let us make humans, let us make man like us." In other words, not that we look like God, which is probably a good thing, but that in his likeness, what he wanted us to be. Of course, when he said that, he's talking to Jesus. Okay? Jesus was with him in creation, as we're told in John 1. But we are told that God has personally knit each and every one of us together. Parker, I know you're paying attention. You, I'm not picking on you, but you're the only one youth your age up here right now. You have been personally knit together by God. You may not understand it now. Sometimes we don't understand it even as adults. But it's nice to hear it. It's nice to know it. No matter what the situation may be that a child, a baby has been conceived, they are not a mistake. They are God's creation. God is personally involved in forming that child in the womb. And let me say this. No matter if that baby was conceived in love or through an action that was sin, even rape, it does not change how God feels about that baby. That doesn't change. And trying to deal with a sinful situation through the act of another sin is not in God's will. Now you say, well, Pastor, this is kind of deep for Children's Day. Sometimes you just got to say what it is. We should not be surprised about the way our society today views abortion. We really should not be surprised. Because when sin is allowed to go and continue on without something being done about the hearts of people, and we can go with laws and everything, but until hearts are changed, sin will continue, and it can only do one of two things. It can either be dealt with, or it's going to continue to grow. It's that simple. Now, I do believe in forgiveness. I do believe in God's redemption for situations where people have had, or ladies have had abortion, and just different things. I understand confusion, being misled, but it still doesn't change how God feels about that child. Because when it comes to it, they are God's creation. In the Old Testament, we see how babies were sacrificed to the Baal gods in order to receive a blessing from their gods. You know, a good harvest, good weather, and so forth. Today, we have babies being sacrificed in the name of the God of self-convenience. Abortion isn't just taking place because of unwanted or unplanned pregnancies. It's taking place in the name of the God of comfort, so they don't have to deal with it. A big fury took place this week that I didn't, of course, didn't know when I was writing this sermon up a few weeks ago that was going to take place this week. about the couple that proudly announced, and I say proudly, announced that they had their baby aboard just because they found out it was going to have Down syndrome. I'm not saying it was right, but I'm not surprised by the response that has taken place with their proudful act or their proudful announcement about people, death threats and stuff like that. Because the death threats are just as wrong as what they did, as far as I'm concerned. Sin is sin. That's not the way to handle it. But it should not be surprising to us to read that word that Jesus said in Matthew, saying, "Let the little children come to me, because he created them. They are his." Not to be part of him just as adults, but even as children. And I say that even as children, because in the church, I think we have made a huge mistake through the years. We continually say things like, and I understand what we're saying, and to a point, I agree with it. But we say things like, "We need the children because they are the church's future." I get it. But we need the children here to get them saved. We need the children here to get them to know Jesus. We need the children here because children are the church of today just as much as what they're going to be tomorrow. And we need to understand that. Now, like I said, I understand what we're saying when we say that, that they are our future. But I think sometimes we mess up by saying things like that because of the fact that they are the church of today. They are with us today. And one thing we have to understand as adults are to continually emphasize to our youth and to make sure that they know this is that God knew you before you were born, because God knew you before creation. Before you were born 100 years ago, I'm teasing you. God knew you 1,000 years before that. God knew you an eternity before that. Because before creation, God already knew Norma. Just like he already knew each and every one of us. Verse 26 of chapter 1, as we said there in Genesis, so Jesus said, or God said to Jesus, "Let us make man in our image." We're told that we were created through what? Dust. And if you look at creation, we are the only animal that God did We are the only part of creation that God did something very special with. Breathed his breath into us for life. He breathed himself into us. Now, we may look at ourselves and we may look at somebody else. And Parker, you may look at yourself like this. You may not be perfect, but you are wonderfully made. You are wonderfully made. And when I say you may not be perfect, I'm talking about maybe you're not athletic like a friend may be. Or maybe, you know, you were born with something that maybe others don't have. Or, you know, because I know people who've been born with an extra toe or an extra finger. Maybe you were born with something that normally that other people have or other kids have that you don't have. I've known people that didn't have all fingers. But that doesn't change how God feels about you. Maybe you're not the perfect athlete. Maybe you struggle like I do with a learning disability. That doesn't mean that God has changed or his feelings towards you. No matter what, our youth, each and every one of us here today, you are wonderfully made. And God will use you to touch people in a wonderful way. Rory, I know you don't have any idea what I'm saying right now, but your mom and your dad and your family do. You have touched so many lives. That verse from Ephesians tells us how we have been chosen by God, known and chosen before creation. Before creation, God chose you to be here today. Kayla, God knew all the struggles you were going to have in life, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah, today's Children's Day. I know you came expecting it, you know, something geared towards just children. They're all downstairs, so now I had to change it. No, I'm just kidding. But when we come to Christ, we are all God's children. As I said, today we're calling today Children's Youth Sunday, and each one of us, once we've accepted Christ, are His child. In being chosen to serve God, we have to remember something. That we have to choose to follow God. We have to choose. It's our decision if we're going to follow God. He may have chose us. Kayla, He may have said, you know what, Kayla, I want you to go to church today. But you had to choose to be here. You had to choose to come. Okay? I'm glad you said it was right, because I'm, you know. The story that we're going to look at, as already been mentioned, is about four guys in the book of Daniel. Of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is how we know them. I'm not going to go through it. One of the other things that she did, I was going to tell you their actual names, and she already took that away from me, too. But no, I loved your story. I especially loved the furnace. So that's cool. And we've heard this story many times in Sunday school, VBS, and probably from the times that, you know, the Bible is written, we probably, some of you have heard it. It's a story that shows truth about the generations that before these young men had made a choice not to follow God. It's a story about, that we pick up in the story where they, I don't know, where everything that takes place with them, with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and I, and Daniel, we take up about when old Nebi comes in. But we have to understand what took place before that. Because we're going to look at the warnings that were not taken seriously. The warnings that were not taken seriously. From Isaiah 39, verses 5 through 7. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." This is the first warning that God gave about what was going to take place when Babylon was going to come and God was going to use Babylon to judge Israel for their turning away as a nation from God. This first warning took place about 705 BC. For the next 100 years, God gave warnings through Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah, and especially through those three. And the leaders of the nation of Israel would not turn back to God. I'm not saying there wasn't a couple here, but as a nation, they would not turn back. The people ignored it because their leaders were ignoring it. I think that's key, especially where we are as a nation today. The leaders were ignoring God, so the people ignored God. The nation being led by ungodly men, it's only a matter of time what's going to take place. They continued, in other words, they continued to walk in their own prideful way. Now, there were some who were striving to walk in God's way. There were families who were taking their relationship with God seriously. Unfortunately, though, when the time came, they would get swallowed up in the judgment of the nation of Israel just as much as those who weren't following God. Around, and we talked a little bit about that in Sunday school today. Around 605 BC, the first main thrust of the Babylonian attack on Judah takes place. Jerusalem is not destroyed at this one, but the first group of captives is taken to Babylon. In this group are the four young men that we're talking about. Daniel, whose name means "My God is my judge." Hananiah, whose name means "Yahweh is gracious." Mishael, who is like God, is what his name means. And Azariah, "Yahweh is my helper." Four young men, probably Parker, probably around 14 to 19 years old when they were taken into captivity. And God is going to use them back then and still as an example for us today on how to follow God as a teenager. Not just as a teenager, but how decisions that we make as teenagers will definitely affect on how we follow God as adults. So we have the temptations to go with the flow instead of standing true to God. So as we continue, and like I said, I'm in the first chapters of Daniel. As we continue to read about these four young men and the things that we went through, we see their determination to remain strong in their faith and to remain true to God. Now remember, the reason they've been taken into captivity was not just because Babylon invaded, but because God was using Babylon to punish Israel for their refusal to keep God first. Israel had caved into temptations and had walked away, for the most part, from God. And now in this young generation that has been carried off, we are seeing determination to remain true to God. And it's interesting because they are carried off from Israel to Babylon to brainwash them. That's the point. Okay, we're going to take the cream of the crop in Israel. Let's put it that way. Royalty. We're going to bring them from Israel to Babylon. We're going to teach them our ways. We're going to brainwash them to follow us and our gods and everything so that then they can one day go back and guess what? Do what we just taught them. Or wherever we decide to send them. Because Babylon, when they conquered, they moved people all over the place. So we see the first temptation in food. Now, when I say the temptation in food, the example is given in food, but this could mean anything, really. Okay? But the temptation in food, these four young men, they're given daily portions, or they're going to be given daily portions of the king's food. Now, us today, we may look at this and say, hey, man, the king eats pretty good. Okay? He's getting steak, he's getting this, you know, whatever. The problem was that some of this food probably wasn't what God had put on the list that they could eat. Also, it's probably food that had been sacrificed to idols in Babylon. So Daniel and his friends, they say, well, wait a minute. We're here because of disobedience from our nation. They're striving to take and remain true to God. And they're going to end up being an example for all of us. Daniel's friends could have made the excuses, well, we have no choice. If we don't eat this, we're going to be in big trouble with old Nebi. Or any of the guards or whatever. We have no choice. But we have to remember, to serve God or not serve God is always a choice. No matter the circumstances. Now, sometimes when we choose to follow God, there may be some consequences. I've lost friends through the years. Well, I thought we're friends. Because of my choice to follow God. These four young men choose to stick with what they've been told what they can and cannot eat. Okay, and we're not going to go into the whole diet plan there and everything, but they choose, and they're taking a big risk But they know that they have to choose. Even in the circumstance of being held captive, they still have to choose whether they're going to remain true to God. Now think about that. They're facing death, and they still choose to say, you know what? We're not going to do it. In 1940, a family in the Netherlands went against their German occupants and began hiding Jews and helping them escape. In 1944, they were betrayed by a neighbor and were arrested. The family father was given, who was 84 years old when they were found out, or when they were turned over to the SS, was given the opportunity to promise that if he would not continue to hide Jews, stop what he was doing, that he could remain at home and die peacefully in bed. His comment was, as long as one person shows up to my door, I will help them. 10 days later, Mr. Ten Boom died in a prison. But he had made that choice, saying, I am still going to follow God no matter what. And it's interesting, because sometimes we make excuses and we say, well, you know what? I can't follow God today because of this. I can't follow God today. I can't do what the Bible tells me because of this. Because I might get in trouble if I do this. Or I might get in trouble if I do that. And in these four young men, we're seeing that they understood what their choice to follow God could have meant. We know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say it. Okay? We know what happens when Daniel goes into the lion's den. We know what happens when the three go into the fiery furnace. They didn't know what was going to take place. And yet they still chose to follow God. So they remained true in their diet. The temptation to not choose God just once in worship. So some years go by, okay? They've been allowed to eat the food that they have proven that could benefit them. Some years later, old Nebi, that's Nebuchadnezzar, in case you didn't get that, comes up with the brilliant idea to build a statue. Now, shortly before this, Nebuchadnezzar had a vision. Daniel tells him what it means. And on the statue that he had in his vision, it's him at the top. So we get the idea that he's built this statue to brag about himself, basically. And so he calls all the governors and all the different rulers, and it's not the common people, but all the rulers have to come and say, hey, we're going to dedicate this statue to Nebi, and just once, you just got to bow down just one time and worship this statue. That's all you got to do. Just one time. We're not going to do it again. We're just going to do it this one time. Now, we don't know why Daniel is not there. He may have been off on some other government business. We don't need to know. The point is this. The three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they know that just even one time was not good. There was a danger of putting something before God, even just one time. Because once we do it, the temptation there is what? Well, one more time wouldn't be that big of a deal. Now I realize we can't be in church every day, or life happens, just different things. But when we say things like, well, today I'm not going to go to church because I just got this one thing that I just want to go do today. Trust me, I get vacations. I get trips. I understand that. But sometimes I think we just make this excuse, well, it's just one time. One time of skipping my prayer time with God today. One time of skipping my Bible reading for a day, or my devotion time with Him today. One time of this with time with God. One time with that doing something for God. One time being able to take part in doing ministry. It's just this one time. And then we run the danger, okay, just one more time. And pretty soon, we get three, we get four. And maybe they're not all back to back, but we start doing it over here, we start doing this. Or have you ever taken and disobeyed your parents? Okay? And you got away with it? What did you do? Yeah. I joke around a little bit, but it's partly true. I learned from my brother and sister on how not to get caught. Okay? But it didn't stop me from doing the things. Because, you know, it started off with, well, just this one time of going out and going drinking with my buddies when I'm underage. It's just one time. Next thing I knew, it was every weekend. And I get life happens, the teenage years and all that stuff. But these guys here, they knew that they just one time bowed down to this statue and not put God first, what they were risking. And it shows us an example today. See, we talk about our actions. Our actions do more than just affect us today. They affect generations to come. God is calling you as believers. Parker, I'm coming right back to you today. God is calling you as believers in Jesus to be an example to your generation of putting God first. He's calling you to be an example to your friends. Today you're in church, and you're going to be telling them, you know what, I went to church today. You're going to be telling them on Monday, Tuesday, if you see them, I went to church Sunday, what did you do? Why don't you come to church with me? See, even, how old are you? I thought you were going to tell me you didn't know how old you were for a second. Even at 14, he's calling you to be an example to your friends. He's also calling you to be an example to a lot of adults. Your choices now in following God, Parker, will impact your decision later on in life and following God. We're going to wrap it up here. See, the decisions you make as a teenager will affect on your following God as an adult. So let's skip ahead several more years. Daniel's now in his 80s. A different king has come to power. He's from Medo-Persia, which modern day Iraq. There's some people that are jealous of Daniel. So they get the king to make this decree that for 30 days, that's 1 month, just for 30 days, you can't bow down to or pray to your God. You got to pray to the king or bow and pay respects to him. And we know the story. What did Daniel do? Went right back to his room, did what? Prayed. What did he do at noon? Prayed. What did he do in the evening? The late afternoon, went, prayed. What did he do the next day? Prayed. And we know that he was spied on. You know, so this was all a trap. We understand that. Maybe Daniel understood what was going on, that was a trap, but he still did what? He prayed. He chose. And I truly believe this, because as a teenager, he started deciding then that he was going to remain true. I'm not saying Daniel was perfect. There's a lot of things probably in Daniel's life that we don't know about. But it's like David. David made a lot of mistakes too. Big mistakes. But we are told David had what? A heart for God. And we see that in an early age of David. God is looking for dedicated, true believers in Christ to lead your generation, Parker. You're going to be called to lead. And it's up to the church to help him to develop his leadership. My question to you today, Parker, and to all the youth that are watching this on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, are you willing to learn to be one of those leaders that God is calling you to be? It's a tough question. Maybe you don't know how to answer it right now. Maybe there's also a lot of adults in here that don't know how to answer that right now. But we have all been called to put God first. And to the older generation today, ending it with one question. It's not in your, it's not on there on your sheets or anything like that. But I hope that each and every one of us listen to it. And if we can't answer it in a positive way, then we know something's got to be done. Are we being the example to our youth of what it means to truly follow God and put Him first? Or are we being like the generations before Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that got them in so much trouble to begin with? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we again praise you and thank you for this day. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you for walking with us each and every day. We thank you for just the many different promises that you keep in so many different ways. But most of all, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you for your willingness to go to the cross, to die for us as God's Son, to die for us and to rise again so that one day we could come to you. Whether we're 14 or 12 or 112, and say, Lord, please forgive me. And be promised of that forgiveness. Lord, we lift up our youth to you. We lift up our children today to you. We praise you for them. We ask that you just be with them in school or homeschool or in summer activities, not just to keep them safe, but that they would truly understand and learn how to be truly dedicated to you and putting you first in their life. And Lord, help us as adults to demonstrate that example. We pray this in your loving name. Amen.